Please keep your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. And this afternoon, the theme for meditation is God cares for you. Anyone who has any experience in life would have experienced various kinds of cares. And these are the kinds of cares that troubles us, that worries us, that brings us sleepless nights. The cares that the Bible described here is used by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And the Lord Jesus Christ says there, "Take no thought." The word care here is the same word for the word thought. And the meaning of this word describes the anxiety. And in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ says that this kind of anxiousness or the anxiety that a person feels may be because of thinking about what shall he eat, what shall he drink, or for the body, what do we put on? That is, there are some who are anxious simply because of their survival. How to go through the next day? Do we have food to eat? Do we have water to drink? Do we have a roof over our head? These would be some of the things that some may be troubled about. Of course, we know that living in Singapore, this may not essentially be the things that we are worried about, because all of us, generally speaking, most of us at least, would have food to eat, water to drink, a roof over our head. Nevertheless, there are many other things which would trouble us, which would bring about this sense and feeling of anxiousness in our hearts. And this is the meaning of this word care that Apostle Peter describes over here. And you notice that Apostle Peter did not say, cast your care if you have care. He assumes that all of us have this kind of cares. And he also says, casting all your care. This seems to describe the diverse kind of cares, all the different types of cares that you face, the manifold cares that we may bear at even a single moment. Are you troubled? Are these also the cares? Are you filled with worry? Is this the anxiousness that you have? There are some things that troubles you, where you keep thinking about it in your mind all the time, where your heart feels so restless. In fact, this word care is a very interesting word, because it literally comes from the word meaning to divide. It has the sense of to part something. And this word to divide describes the idea of this distracting in something. Now, this word to distract is not how we would commonly use this word distract today. For example, maybe if you are trying to concentrate on something like listening to the sermon right now, and then there's a sound in the corner of this room, then suddenly you are distracted. Your attention is taken away. This is how we will often use this sense of distraction. But this sense of distraction is a stronger word than that. It describes to divide. Your heart is divided within you. There's a sense of disunity within your own heart, where your soul is so troubled that you cannot focus, you cannot think upon anything. It's just like if you are now listening to this sermon. And although there's no additional sound in the room, but there may be certain thoughts, there may be certain worries or trouble that is in your mind. Maybe because of worries in your workplace, things that you still have to do or things that you still have not done. Or maybe because of your worries in terms of your relationship problems that you have been facing. And because of all these things, now it distracts you, it disunites you. You are so divided within your soul that you just simply cannot fix your attention and focus on anything else. Have you experienced this kind of cares before? Sometimes when we travel, we are filled with cares. How to plan, how to prepare, what is the weather like? And these are just but small things, but they may be more serious things that we may also worry about. And the more frightening thing is that oftentimes these cares do not come one at a time. If it were just but one care that we have to bear at this moment, maybe we feel that it would not be so bad. I just have to worry and think about this problem and this situation. Maybe if it's a problem of the lack of food, then let me think, how can I solve this problem to get food? Maybe if it's just the problem of the car, to fix this car, then how do I think and solve this problem to fix this car? Maybe if it's just about one problem in terms of the relationship, maybe there was an argument or a quarrel with a very good friend, and now the relationship is strained. And then we are worried, we are filled with this care of what will happen to this relationship. And maybe if it's just but one problem, you can think of how to deal with that problem. But oftentimes, the cares that we face, the cares that we bear, they all come at one go, where we feel so overwhelmed, where we have to think about our family, we have to think about our food, we have to think about our future, we have to think about our responsibilities, and all these cares just simply overwhelm us at one time, in a single moment. This is the cares that we face. And any Christian, and for that matter, any person who has any experience in life, have experienced this kind of cares, where you feel so divided within your own soul, where you feel so disunited, where you feel so troubled, where you are filled with anxiety, where you cannot think, you do not know how to take the next step, you do not know what to decide, what to do in the next moment. These are the cares that troubles us. But the question is then, when we face this kind of cares, what should we do? How do we deal with this kind of cares? Apostle Peter wants us to realize that Christians must expect to face this kind of cares. It is impossible. Christians cannot expect to live a carefree life. Of course, there are some who try to deal with their cares by simply ignoring these cares. Maybe they will try to find other things that would occupy their mind, occupy their time, to take their attention away from the cares that they are facing. And so, if you go to the world, you look at the people in the world, they are filled with cares, that's why they are so stressed, they are so burdened, they are so troubled all the time. And how do they cope with this kind of cares? There may be some people who will just simply try to laugh over these cares. They make a joke out of it. They try to make light of it, because that is the way they think that they can cope with it. By just making it light, then they will not feel the burden and the weight of these cares. There are some people who would then resort to various forms of addictions in the dealing of these cares. Some would resort to drinking, maybe through if they can get themselves so drunk that they no longer think about these burdens or these cares, then they don't have to worry about them anymore. Others will resort to drug addiction, or others may resort to any other kinds of addiction just to get their mind, take their minds off these cares. But you realize, no matter what a person tries to do, if he tries to run away from these cares, if he tries to distract himself from these cares are still there. The burdens, the anxieties, the worry, the trouble, it is still in the person's heart. And it's constantly dividing the person's soul. He feels this sense of turmoil where he's torn within himself. You try to look at some videos, maybe to laugh. They say laughter is the best medicine. So you try to laugh, to forget these cares. But at the end of the day, even at the quiet moments of the night, all these cares will just simply flood back in again. So how should Christian deal with these cares? What are the kind of cares that you may face? You know, Apostle Peter actually in his epistle has been describing the various kinds of cares that you and I may face. And this is not an exhaustive list, but these are just some of the cares which we face, and there are definitely other cares which we are very familiar with. Apostle Peter, for example, has described the cares of persecution, where you are being persecuted for your faith in 1 Peter chapter 4. Apostle Peter has been describing that. What if this moment, the very next moment, you are arrested? What if the very next moment you are caught? These kind of cares that you have to deal with. Apostle Peter also described the cares, the anxiety, where we have to realize we are going to be constantly attacked by the devil. That's what he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. So are you going to be anxious? Now, it's one thing to be sober and mindful. It's another thing to be worried and anxious. Apostle Peter also describes the struggles against sin that a person may have. Apostle Peter also describes the struggle against the worldliness that a person may have that brings about these cares. Now, it's very interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, when he used this word cares, he used it in reference to the care of this world. He says here that there are some who heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. Oftentimes, this kind of cares that we face and that we bring upon ourselves are because we are so much in this world and we want to be like this world. It's the burden of this world. Now, this can simply describe the reality of his life. To need to eat, to survive, water, to drink. These are just simply the realities of this life. But sometimes you take these pursuits further, where you do not just want simple food. You do not just want simple drink. You do not just want a simple home over, or a roof over your head, a simple home. But you want more. The covetousness, the greediness. Has this not brought upon people greater cares? I mean, for example, this is a very real and practical thing that we need to consider. So many Singaporeans get themselves into debt because they want to buy a house. But they're not content with just but a 3-room flat. Maybe this is what their salary will enable them to purchase, where they can take a bank loan and then after that they pay monthly a certain amount, and they can afford this and still live a reasonably comfortable life. But they want more. They want a 5-room flat, or they want to live in a condo, or they want to live in a landed property, and so they get themselves into debt. And then because of all these financial constraints, now it has brought upon them so much more cares. And these kind of practical issues are not just found in the world. It's also found in amongst Christians who are pursuing these things of the world. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ used this word, the cares. Oftentimes, a lot of this anxiety and these cares are also what we bring upon ourselves. So then this brings us to the question, how can we deal with these cares? Now, Apostle Peter tells us here, in verse 6 and in verse 7, there is a parallel thought over here. Okay? He first says, you humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And then you notice in verse 7, the first part again describes what we must do. We cast ourselves upon Him. Now you notice the second part of verse 6, as well as the second part of verse 7, describes now what God will do. Right? In the second part of verse 6, He exhort you in due time. And then the second part of verse 7 also, He careth for you. So there's a parallel over here. Where in the first part of verse 6 and the first part of verse 7, Apostle Peter teaches us how to deal with these cares. And that's our responsibility, what we must do. And in the second part of verse 6 and the second part of verse 7, he now shows us who our God is and how our God cares for us, what our God will do for us. And so we want to look at these two parts. What do we do with the cares that we face? What do we do with the anxiety, the worry? What do we do if we cannot sleep at night? What should we do if we are constantly troubled? There are things that are occupying our minds. What should we do? Apostle Peter says first, there must be a humble casting of our care. Now the reason why I say it's a humble casting is because I put verse 6 and verse 7 together. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And then, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him. Now, before there can be the casting of our cares, There must be a humbling of ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Now, as mentioned earlier, sometimes the cares that we face, it is what we bring upon ourselves. The cares that we experience is because of our pride. It's because of our unwillingness to submit and yield ourselves before and under the mighty hand of God. Sometimes the cares that we face and the cares that we carry, the burdens that are so heavy, is because of our pride, our self-confidence, our arrogance, where we still want to try to find a human solution to this problem that we are facing. Where we still think that I will be able to solve this puzzle. I can do it. I can figure it out. I do not need anyone's help. I want to solve this. I want to deal with this. And I want to deal with it on my own. Sometimes this is a kind of pride, the self-confidence that we have, which is the reason why we bear so many of these burdens and so many of these cares. Sometimes this is also the pride that is reflected in the kind of expectations that we have. We expect a certain outcome. We expect the circumstances to be in a certain way. We expect that when we became Christians, the moment we decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, what kind of life should we have? We expected a rosy, comfortable life, the pathway that is paved with carpet. We expect a life that is so sweet, so smooth sailing. That's the kind of expectations that we have. And then we expect to pursue after our own ambitions and our goals, and we expect to fulfill all our dreams. And because we do not receive or achieve what we expect to achieve, what we want to have, now we feel so troubled, so anxious, so worried. Oftentimes you see students also facing similar struggles like this. They study very hard. They have put in their best. And it's very sad, even sometimes you hear of news reports where some students, they become so full of pressure, even in their studies, that they take their own lives. Why? Because maybe they expected, they wanted, they were aiming for a particular grade. They were aiming for a particular result. And when they did not meet either their own expectations or the expectations that their parents or people had placed upon them, they feel so overwhelmed, they cannot take with this kind of pressure, they cannot cope with this kind of pressure, they just take their own lives. Sometimes the cares that we face is because of our own selves, our own pride, our own expectation, our own arrogance, our own confidence. And if it's this kind of cares, Apostle Peter first tells us that we need to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Think. The worries that you carry, the burdens that you bear, is it because of your unwillingness to submit and yield under the mighty hand of God? You know, sometimes we can even see this pride manifested in the disciples themselves. When they were crossing the Sea of Galilee together with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep. And then the disciples, when they met with the storm, they awoke the Lord Jesus Christ, and awake when the Lord Jesus Christ was awoken, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Now, do you hear the tone of pride that is in the disciples' voice? They say, "Carest thou not that we perish?" The disciples thought that they are those who have decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the disciples of Christ. They are supposed to be special. They are supposed to be given special privileges, treated differently. And now when they met with this storm, to the point where they thought that they would nearly die, then they questioned the Lord Jesus Christ, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Sometimes this is the way we talk as well. "Lord, how can you allow this to happen to me? I have decided to serve you. I have become a Christian. I have decided to follow you. Then why does this happen to me? Why does it not happen to others?" You see, you know, one of the things that You constantly find the Psalms. It's the psalmist questioning, why is it that the wicked prosper and the righteous, they suffer? Why does this happen to me? Why me? But is this not also pride? Can we not be like Job? Remember Job who says, if we can receive good at the hand of the Lord, then how about even being ready to receive evil? The word evil there does not mean that which is wicked, but evil in terms of the adverse circumstances, the very trying and very difficult circumstances. Are we not ready to receive even sufferings, pains at the hand of the Lord? See, the thing over here is that Peter wants us to realize we cannot even begin to cast our care upon the Lord unless we acknowledge that He is God. And that's the problem with many of us. The reason why we have so many burdens, worries and cares is because we still want to be the masters of our own lives. We still want to be the one who is in control. We still want to trust in our own mighty hand. And at times, the Lord really has to break us, humble us, bring us so low, and show us that we cannot rely on ourselves at all. We are so weak. We are so frail. We are so unable. And the Lord has to show us we are really so small that we can turn to no one else. We cannot even turn to ourselves, but we can only turn to God and God alone. That's why Peter begins with this: humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. No, Peter tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He's showing us who our God is. To humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, it is not a difficult thing to do if you know who your God is. Peter is not asking you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of someone who is unloving, someone who is a despot, someone who is cruel, someone who does not care for you. He's asking you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God who cares for you, who loves you very much. But He's also the mighty God who is able, who is powerful, who will save. See, there are many people whom we trust in, who we like to rely on. But you find that even when you try to rely on them, there's very little they can do. Because they are just like you and me, human beings, with limited strength, limited time, limited energy, limited resources. Have you all tried to go to friends and then you find your friends unable to help and then you become so disappointed with your friends? Sometimes, you know, it's not really the fault of your friends. Maybe you have been facing something so trying, so difficult. You try to go to a friend, you share your burden with a friend. And you hope that your friend is able to understand and maybe even just help in a certain way. But after sharing, yes, you feel a little bit better because you're able to maybe vent, you know, or you're also able to just get the burden and the weight off your chest. But you know that the problem is still there. And sometimes your friend may give you some suggestions and some advice of what you can do or what you cannot do. And at times it may help. But sometimes it still doesn't take the worry or the anxiety away, because the problem is still there. Then sometimes we can become very annoyed with our friends, irritated with them, because we find their advice or their counsel so shallow, or even so useless, impractical. But the reality is that these friends are but human beings like you and me. And what is the most that they can do? Of course, the most precious thing that they can do is to point you to the Word of God. It's also to point you to Christ. It's also to bring you before God in prayer. But is that good enough for you? That's why Apostle Peter tells us, you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. They are well-meaning, concerned friends who want to help, but they are still but men. But we have the Almighty God, who is all-powerful, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who can change the hearts of kings and judges, the one who rules over all, the one who is in control over all things. He was the one who turned the cursings of Balaam into blessings. He is the Almighty God. Cast yourself before this God. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And then you cast all your cares upon Him. Now, when you have humbled yourself before the mighty hand of God, the next part will come so easily. You cannot cast without the humbling. But the moment you have humbled yourselves before the mighty hand of God, then what you can do is to take all your worry, your anxiety, your troubles and your cares, and you cast it before the Lord and you leave it there. Now, this word to cast literally means to throw upon. And it has the idea of to cast it away. Where you cast it away totally, completely, and you leave it in the hands of God. Cast it upon the Lord and leave it there. Now, the problem with man is we are unwilling to just surrender completely. That's the problem. We still want to hold on to this little part of our lives. We still want to hold on to control over these things. And that's why we are still going to be so anxious, worried, or troubled. We cannot have the peace of God because we still have not cast it all away upon the Lord. Now, if you know that you're humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God, you're not casting it upon someone who cannot help or someone who cannot save. But you're casting it, leaving it in the hands of God, who is powerful and who is wise. You know, the other day I was reading one very interesting article. You know, it was talking about, you know, what makes good leaders. And it, of course, is a different context, but I just find it interesting because at times it shows, it does illustrate how, as human beings, we like to, some, there are some especially, who like to micromanage a lot of things. So they are talking about the different kinds of leaders. And there's some kind of leaders who they like to micromanage every single little detail. And then one way they say that you can tell, you know, whether this leader is someone who likes to micromanage everything is that every email that you send, he always asks you to CC him. And he wants to be kept in the loop of all things. Of course, some of them, they would burn out very soon because they cannot really keep track of all these things. So if you want to work with people, you learn to trust also the people who are working with you. But this reflects an interesting thought. And sometimes we are just unwilling to surrender control and even to surrender control unto God. We cannot cast it away completely unto the Lord and know that He's in control. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that we should not be responsible. Okay? Is this casting here is not saying that if you have a duty to fulfill, if you have a responsibility to fulfill, for example, fathers in the home, the husbands, the head of the home, you have to provide for your family. The Bible says that is the duty of fathers to work, to labor, to bring food on the table. And if any man will not work, neither shall he eat. And so, now, assuming this family is struggling with just even survival, okay, for food, the lack of clothing, the father cannot simply say, oh, I cast it upon the Lord and leave it there. Then he casts away his responsibility. He casts away his duty and then he just leaves it there and says, the Lord will provide. This is of course not what this verse means. Because the Bible tells us that we must carry the burden of our responsibilities. We must carry our duties, right? Fulfill our duties and our responsibilities. So fathers, what they must do, the right attitude should be that they go out and work. They try their best. They put in their effort. They also spend responsibly. But they trust the Lord in every moment as they work, as they labor, for the Lord to provide for all His needs. And even if, for example, in a family, if let's say the father, the head of the home, is retrenched, now casting all your care upon the Lord means that he will go out and try to find, search for a job. But in the process of searching, he casts his worry, he casts his anxiety, he casts his troubles upon the Lord. And he leaves that anxiety, the anxiousness there. Such that even when he's retrenched, It will not affect his testimony. It will not affect his service. He will not be murmuring. He will not be complaining. And even as he patiently waits upon the Lord's timing, he will still serve the Lord. He will still bear forth a good testimony for the Lord. That is what it means to cast your care upon the Lord and to leave it there. The problem is that sometimes we mix up these two sides. We cast our duty, we cast our responsibility away, and then we take the anxiety and the worry. But we need to fulfill our responsibility and duty, but we cast the troubles, the cares, the anxiousness upon the Lord, and we leave it there. Now, when you go on your knees and you pray, that is when we cast our cares upon the Lord. How often, even when we pray, having gone upon our knees and having uttered these words of prayer, we still arise from our knees with the same trouble, with the same worry, with the same restlessness, with the same turmoil and distracted thoughts in our hearts? And that's not really casting your burdens upon the Lord. You know, when you look at the psalmist, one very amazing lesson that we see in the psalmist's prayers, I mean, the psalms are many of them really prayers. You see how the psalmist, he may begin a psalm with a complaint. He was not complaining against God, definitely, but was describing that he was crying out unto the Lord, the distress that he's in, the burdens that he's facing, how he feels so overwhelmed. Some of the expressions that you see, how the psalmist will even be in tears. And he's weeping. He even is unable to sleep at night. And then he brings all these burdens before the Lord. And yet, as you see, as you read the prayers of this psalmist, sometimes even towards the middle of the psalm or even by the end of the psalm, his cry would turn into praise. His cry would turn into thanksgiving. And at times, this thanksgiving and this praise is not because he has experienced deliverance yet. It's not because the circumstances has changed. But what has changed is where the psalmist has humbled himself before the Lord. He has cast his burden before the Lord, and he has left it there. Now, we may say sometimes that this is not very real and practical, because we know that in reality, this is not what we often experience. We often experience how these worries and cares are so real, are so troubling. But you know, when the psalmist wrote these psalms, the psalmist were really experiencing these trials, these afflictions, in a very real and personal way as well. The things that the psalmist writes about, they are not just but theoretical things. They are not just but hypothetical things. These were really the things that he has been encountering, he has been facing, he has been struggling with. And these are all his testimonies when he cast his burdens upon the Lord. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Cast your cares upon the Lord and leave it there. Can we not have this kind of wonderful experience as well? Now, if you can cast your care upon the Lord, then what will the Lord do for you? Now, in fact, the third thing that I would like to also share with regard to what the Lord does for us is also, you know who He is. You see the second part of verse 6. The Bible says that God, He may exhort you in due time. And then, He careth for you. And so what we have looked at thus far is really, what are the cares that we face? What does it mean to have these cares? Okay, the cares that we face. Second, we have looked at the humble casting. Casting all our cares humbly before the Lord. And then the third thing that we see is how God cares for us. Now, there are just three things that you can notice in the second part of verse 6 and second part of verse 7. Okay, first of all, I'd like to highlight first the truth that God cares for us. Now, the word, okay, I draw your attention to the second part of verse 7, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Right? The truth that God cares for you. Now, the word He careth for you. This word care here is a different word from the word care that you find in the beginning part of verse 7, casting all your care. Right? Just now I've explained that the care that we cast upon the Lord is the word meaning to divide or to disunite, is the word for anxiety, anxiousness. But the careth for you, when God cares for us, this is a different word. Now, this word means to take care of someone. And it describes having an interest in a person. It describes the showing of concern in a person. And this is a word of action. It is not just where this person has the thought of care towards another person, but it's where this care is manifested in action. And it's interesting also here because the tense that is used over here describes where God cares for us and He will keep on caring for us. Where God's care for us is something that continues on and on and on. Every moment He cares for us. Every moment He's concerned for us. I'm sure that you and I would be very touched and moved. If you know that there's someone who is very important to you, who cares for you very much. But sometimes when you are very down and you're very troubled, just even to know that there are people who cares for you is very touching, is very meaningful. I believe that you'll be very appreciative. Sometimes even though you know that people may not be able to do much in those very difficult situations, but just even to know that there are people there who cares for you, you feel appreciative, you feel touched, you are grateful. But now here, this care is not just where there's someone who cares for you, or someone tells you, I'm very concerned for you. But it's where He cares by taking action of care for you. Where His concern is manifested in His watchfulness, is manifested in His hand guiding you, His hand leading you, He is watching over you every step of the way. And this care goes on and on. He's continuously caring for us every moment. Cast all your care upon the Lord because God cares for you. How precious this thought is. And do you notice here that the Bible says God cares for you? He did not just simply say God cares. Peter could have said, cast all your care upon Him because God cares. Or God is a caring God. That is His attribute. That is His nature. Well, that would be true because we know that God has a general care. Right? That's what theologians would say. God has a common grace, a general care over all the things of this whole universe, where He sustains the planets. Okay? He sustains all the things in this world, the laws that He has implanted in nature, the water cycle, all these things. God shows His care, He manifests His care even in nature. That's a common care. That's a general kind of care. But then there's also a special care. That's what we would call special grace. A special care for His children. This is the argument that the Lord Jesus Christ used, the illustration which the Lord Jesus Christ used. Right? If God, your Father who is in heaven, if He can care even for the sparrows, if He cares even for the grass of the field, then how much more will He care for you and me? We are His children. He has a personal relationship with us. Now you see this in a very vivid picture in the Old Testament, where when the children of Israel, they were wandering the wilderness, even for 40 years. And you know that when they were wandering the wilderness, it was because of their disobedience, their stubbornness, and their rebellion against God. They refused to enter into the promised land when the Lord brought them even to the promised land. They refused to enter in because they were afraid of the giants. And because of that, they had to wander the wilderness for 40 years. Yet, even though this was their disobedience, the Lord still went with them. A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. This was a manifestation of the presence of God in the midst of the children of Israel. God cares for them. And this is the same God who continues to care for us. Have you not experienced His care? You know, our past experiences of God's care must be the foundation, the stepping stones, the building blocks for us to trust in how the Lord will continue to care for us even in the future. As we have gone through little trials, little afflictions, little testings, even in the past, and through those moments we have experienced how God cares for us in such a real and personal way, this must be an encouragement to us to continue trusting in the Lord's care for us, even when we face more severe trials, more painful testings. We would know that this is the same God who cares for you. Can you take hold of this truth that God cares for you, and He cares for you in a personal, real, and a very special way because you are His precious child? No, God's care for us is inexhaustible. You may wonder, how is God able to care for each and every one of us? But God is able to, because He's the mighty God. He's the all-knowing God. He cares for each and every one of you. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But there's another truth here that Peter also describes, because he says that God will exhort you in due time. I'd like to point out first the truth about God's timing. Now, when God cares for us, He does not care for us at times in the way we want Him to. See, sometimes even in human beings, amongst friends, this can be the cause of various misunderstandings. We share a burden with a friend, and then after that, the friend says, you know, I sympathize with you. And then maybe the friend tries to help you. And then we feel insulted sometimes. And we feel that this friend does not care for us even, because the friend does not care for us in the way we expect or we want the friend to care for us. Maybe we expect the friend to care for us by just doing something for us, this particular thing. Yet instead, the friend does something else. It's not a matter of who is right or who is wrong at times. Right? Sometimes you say that, oh, this is my expectation if why this person don't care for me in the way I want this person to care for me. But you know, sometimes this can be rather foolish. Yes, a child may think that parents would care for the child if parents just simply give the child whatever the child wants. But parents know that sometimes if you just give everything, anything that your child wants to your child, sometimes that is doing more hurt than good to your child. That is not really caring. Parents would know when you really care for your child, sometimes you have to hold back. There are certain things which you cannot give. There are certain things which you have to hold back. And some, at times even discipline is also part of caring for your child. Of course, the child may not be able to appreciate. By God's grace, when the child grows older, when he's more mature, then he realizes, oh, actually, my parents have been caring for me all this while. You know, at times this is also how it is when we view God's care for us. See, God cares for us in His time, according to His wisdom in His way. At times we wonder, why does the Lord not deliver immediately? Why is it that when I pray, then does the Lord not deliver immediately? Here, Peter says, God cares and He will exhort you in due time. In the right time. In the time appointed according to His own purpose. Even as we trust in the Lord's caring, trust in the Lord's timing. The Lord's timing is always the best. He will never be too early. He will never be too late. At times we may feel that we are already at our wit's end. We are already at our crushing point. We cannot bear it anymore. We are about to break and to crack up completely. But trust in the Lord's timing. The Lord knows best. The Lord will never be too early. Neither will He be too late. At times the Lord may seem to delay in delivering. Perhaps it's for us to be strengthened in the faith. or at other times is to humble us. But whatever the purpose may be, is according to the Lord's timing. Trust in the Lord's timing. But then there's a third truth that we also see here is that know that in due time, in the Lord's timing, the Lord will exhort you. Now the word to exhort here means and has the idea of to lift up. The Lord will lift you up in due time. God will exhort you in due time. In the Lord's own timing, the Lord will lift you up. The Lord will exhort you. And when you have a proper understanding of what deliverance is, because at times how God delivers us may not also be what we expect deliverance to be. Sometimes we expect the deliverance to be the removing of that problem, the changing of the circumstances, the removing even of that difficult person. That may be what we think deliverance is. But God exalting us and lifting us up may not necessarily describe the change of the circumstances itself per se, but it's a change of you and me. Where God will lift us up. What does it mean to exalt us? It may have the idea of bestowing honor on us, but I believe more so than that is where the Lord will grant us the perseverance, the endurance, the faith. God will lift us up, where He will grant us the grace, the strength to even overcome the adversity, the circumstance, or the person. God will lift us up in due time. But will you trust in the Lord's caring for you? The cares that we face at times may feel so overwhelming. Certain point in times we may even feel we cannot bear it anymore. And we feel that it's tearing us apart in our soul. We cannot eat, we cannot think, we cannot focus, we cannot sleep. We are so troubled. Such times, what should we do? Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Is it because of our pride? Is it because we really want something? Even though the Lord has shown us that this is not what you ought to pursue after. You have this ambition and you want this. But the Lord says that you have to be willing to sacrifice this for the Lord. Will you be able to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Submit yourself before the Lord? And then when you submit yourself before the Lord, you then cast all your cares upon Him. You leave it there. You entrust the outcome. You entrust the result. You fulfill your responsibilities to the best of your ability, but you entrust everything else unto the Lord. And as you cast your care upon the Lord, then know that God cares for you. He is always watching over you. He's guiding you each step of the way. He knows how you feel. He knows your thoughts. He knows your struggles. He knows how overwhelmed you are. And God cares for you, and He will keep caring for you over and over again. But know that God cares, and He will exhort in His due time. In His own time, the right time. Never too late. Never too early. But at the right time, the Lord will lift you up. So as you wait upon the Lord, cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we know that Thou art the God who cares for us. Thou art the God who loves us. Thou art the God who has chosen us even before the foundation of the world. And now You continue to bestow upon us Your special personal care. O Lord, we thank Thee, for we know You are always watching over us. You know our deepest thoughts, our deepest struggles, You know our fears, our worries, our burdens. You know even when we feel so overwhelmed, where words are unable to describe how we feel. You know and you care. Oh Lord, so often we feel the cares that we carry, the anxiety, so overwhelming. At times we feel like our emotions, we are unable to control them. We feel this sense of turmoil in our soul. We feel so divided within our own hearts. Oh Lord, at such times, teach us and show us how you care for us. Help us to humble ourselves before your mighty hand. If it is because of our own pride, our unwillingness to surrender unto thee, that has brought about such anxiety and cares, O Lord, help us now to humble ourselves before thee. Even as painful as it may be at times, teach us to surrender all. For we know in submitting ourselves to thee, humbling ourselves before thee, surrendering all unto thee, we will never be ashamed, we will never be disappointed. For thou art the God who cares for us. So Lord, we pray, thou will encourage us with this very precious truth, that thou art the God who cares and who exhort us in due time. We thank thee for all these things. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.